In Deuteronomy chapter 4, the word of Moses tells us in verse 2, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Over in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." I recognize that those are two Old Testament passages, but Paul tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Even though we're not under the old law, those verses apply today. We could also go to 2 Timothy 3, where the Apostle Paul told the young preacher Timothy. He said in verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," that is, God breathed, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." My question to all of us tonight is, how much is necessary to obey God? Several years ago, I was talking to a member of the church back in Westfield, Indiana. We were talking one night after a Wednesday night service, and we talked about how some people have the attitude, even some of our brethren, that strict obedience to the gospel and its command is not really necessary. They feel that as long as the person generally does what is right, that he does not have to strictly adhere to all the teachings of the law of Christ. James refers to it in James 1:25 as the perfect law of liberty. I believe, consequently, they brand those who would propose that kind of inheritance as legalists. It is interesting to note, though, that God has always required strict obedience to all his commands. No matter what law from God man was under, he was always to know and diligently follow the will of God. We understand Noah had to follow the specific instructions of when he was told to build the ark in order to save his family. Cain's sacrifice was not pleasing to God because he did not heed God's instruction when he made his offering. David, in his lesson of Moses, in talking about Moses, he was not allowed to enter the promised land or to lead the children of Israel into it because he had failed on just one occasion to give God the proper honor before the people. Again, Paul said in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn from the examples of the Old Testament how God dealt with the Israelites, those who obeyed him and those who were disobedient. I'm going to look at two examples from the Old Testament. A story that we're all familiar with, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Nadab, next in line, is the high priest of all Israel. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, God had commanded them to use specific fire when burning incense in the tabernacle. But we learn from that passage that they chose to use a different one. Some might say today, well, so what? Fire is fire. The difference is what God says. It did make a difference with God, a real one. God was displeased, and they both perished. God's instructions were clear, and Nadab and Abihu willingly offered a substitution instead of what God commanded. Another example would be Uzzah. From this story, we learn that this man, he meant well what he did. And 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 7 shows that even though a person may be sincere in what he is doing, in God's eyes, it's not enough. One must follow complete instructions of God. The incident with Uzzah took place when the children of Israel were bringing the Ark of God back from the Philistines who had captured it in battle. They had constructed a cart on which to transport it, even though God had commanded that it be carried by certain of the Levites. We can read of that in Exodus 25 and Numbers chapter 4. The law also stated that no one was to touch that ark lest they would die, Numbers 4:15. While transporting the ark in this unauthorized manner, the oxen that pulled the cart stumbled. We read that the ark was ready to fall. Uzzah, not wanting the ark to fall, reached out his hand and put it on the ark to steady it. We know what the consequence was. God immediately struck him dead. In trying to keep the ark from crashing to the ground, did he not mean to do well? Yes, he did. Was he not trying to do a kind or good thing? As man might see it, yes. But in the eyes of God, he was violating a direct command. God would not tolerate such sin. King David, seeing what had happened to him, stopped the ark journey. Its journey was not resumed until 3 months later. Having learned from God's judgment, we read 1 Chronicles 15 all the way to 1 Chronicles 15:1-4 and verses 12 and 15. We learn that it was transported as God commanded it to be, the Levites bearing it on their shoulder. As a consequence of what happened to this man, they realized they got to follow God's instruction. The New Testament example, I'll give one, the Pharisees. Some might say, but Jesus didn't condemn the Pharisees for strict law-keeping. Didn't he tell them they need not to be concerned with the details of the law? Jesus pronounced numerous woes upon the scribes and Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. We find in verse 23 of Matthew 23, Jesus records, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." But some people have gotten the idea from this passage that it shows that it's only the weightier matters of the scriptures that one should obey and not consider the others. That's not what Jesus is teaching. He's saying they should have done both those weightier and those possibly not so weightier. They were to have kept all of the law. Does God require obedience to all his precepts? Jesus did in his passage, and he still does today. And there's so many places throughout the Bible where we see that word all. And that word all is an all-inclusive term. It doesn't leave anything out. Jesus tells us, in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We find in Hebrews 5:8-9, "Though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then being made perfect, he," that is Jesus, "became the author of eternal salvation." These are two of many passages which teach the word of God must be obeyed. What portion of it can one fail to obey and still please God? None. Consider James 2:10, when James says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he becomes guilty of all of it." So the answer to the question, how important it is to obey God? It's important. How much does it take to obey God? Everything. Everything that he has recorded for us in the pages of the New Testament. In the class tonight, in John chapter 20, faith is believing in the testimony, the writings of the apostles. The apostles received their testimony from Jesus. God has always demanded obedience. He requires it of us today. Such obedience does not make ineffective His grace and mercy. If we fail to live up to His expectation, if we stumble or fall, as Christians we can always go to Him, confess our sins, and pray for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. He, through His love, mercy, and grace, will forgive us. But His grace never gives us license to do as we please or to neglect to submit to something He has commanded for us. We must seek to do the will of the Lord in all things. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we want to welcome your response to it. If you're not a Christian, will you obey by doing all that He commands us? The Scriptures teach that we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. We must repent of our sin, confess the good name of Christ before men, be buried with our Lord in baptism for the remission of sin, be raised to walk in newness of life, be submissive to His will, and receive the gift of salvation, which He offers through His Son, Jesus Christ. As a child of God, if you wandered back into the world, come back home now. Whatever your needs are, won't you stand as we sing this song?